Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour here on Robbie and Rex Road, talking all things Tennessee Titans. We welcome your thoughts, your questions for PK on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. PK, how's the snow looking in your neck of the woods? Are you going to be traversing out in it today?
Deep, deep. My boy has a friend that lives not that far away. I'm a believer that he should walk, but he gets driven. he's got a tough trudge home to get to his sledding stuff to go out later.
Hey, I may have to do some sledding today as well. The toddler last time out, Joe, not a huge fan of the sledding. She was out there for about 5 minutes and was like, "Yeah, we'll try it again today. See how it goes."
I told him if I asked for a ride for my parents to cover this distance, I would have been laughed at in my face. But I did not, in fact, have a friend who lived this distance. So I can't say for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you would have walked and you would have been barefoot, and you know it.
Uphill both ways. So, PK, we talked about the wide receiving options for the Titans that are going to be out there, both in free agency, someone in the draft, but focusing in on free agency, maybe even via trade. You know, Bill Barnwell put out his list a couple of days ago going over some trade candidates. I don't think it makes any sense for the Titans whatsoever to involve themselves in a trade for a Deebo Samuel, who I have concerns about aren't very good anymore. You know, Tyreek Hill could be traded away from Miami. I just think where the Titans are right now, that doesn't make any sense. There are some veteran wide receivers on the free agent market that we've been asked about, whether that's Amari Cooper, whether that's a Stephon Diggs, a Keenan Allen. None of those guys really excite me, but I also realize that they've got a lot of work to do to repair the wide receiver room. So how do you view that job in front of the Titans on that front, and how do you view the veteran market available at wide receiver this offseason?
Yeah, I actually, you guys inspired me yesterday to write the piece that I wrote about veteran free agent wide receivers. I started with wide receivers as opposed to offensive line help, but it was you talking about Ronnie Stanley, your brother.
Yes.
Because I just think we got to stay away from age and injuries. And if you look at these wide receivers, T. Higgins is a prize, right? He's only 26. You know, he's missed 20% of his games hurt, which is not – that's kind of an average number for these guys. But he had a pretty damn good season despite missing – despite playing only 12 games. He's going to get tagged. He's going to wind up in Cincinnati. But, you know, here at with his size, 6'4" and at 219 and connected to Callahan and all that, he'd certainly be attractive. But you look at these other guys, Godwin's coming off a dislocated ankle. Diggs is coming off a torn ACL. Godwin's 29, so at least he's south of 30. These are ages at the beginning of the season. Diggs will be 31. Cooper will be 31. And he's been passed around, so you wonder about, you know, Raiders gave up on him. Cowboys gave up on him. Browns gave up on him. Maybe now the Bills are going to give up on him. Keenan Allen is just a very old 33. You know, I'm wary of all of them. I think the Titans got their older receiver last year in Calvin Ridley. Now you need to re-sign NWI. And then you're –
damn right. Say it again.
You're due to go get a young up and coming receiver from the draft. So this guy was sending out research yesterday that I found to be very interesting. 60% of teams on rosters at the end of the season were drafted by their teams. Only offensive line was a higher percentage, 61%. A league low 20% of receivers arrived on rosters via free agency. So that tells you you've got to get them and raise them in your program. And the Titans haven't, you know, they took their big swing most recently with Treylon Burks and it didn't work. It's time for another swing. This isn't as good a draft at wide receiver as the last couple, but there's still attractive guys in there that you would want that could be in your top three very easily.
Well, that's interesting research, and those are compelling numbers. So does something like that shape an entire strategy in which you say, look, we have to sign offensive linemen or edge and or say whatever it is, because we have to draft a receiver. Like we have to, our free agency strategy has to start with the idea that like it doesn't make sense. None of these guys are attractive. They're all falling apart. Look at the data. So we need like receiver, even though everybody talks about best player, best player, best player, receiver has to be addressed in this draft. Am I taking it too far? Is that a sound strategy for a team?
I think that, you know, I haven't assessed fully what's there at the edge and on the offensive line, but it's better than what's there at wide receiver. Now I don't know about big ticket items, you know, they set it up that I think we'll all be surprised by big ticket items or by multiple big ticket items, by the way they talked about free agency, supplementing. But I do think you have to be dictated to by what's available in the market and comparing the free agent pool versus the draft pool, not just this year, but in the years to come. And generally speaking, wide receivers are pouring into the league. You know, you watch college football on any given Sunday and the highlight reels are never lacking for amazing catches by amazing physical specimens. And the offensive line play, you know, it is what college football is, but I don't know how often you're looking at a guy going, whoa, I can't wait to see that guy in the, you know, in broad terms, in number terms, in terms of offensive line and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, I would expect that we'll see them be more active. I don't know how active that is, but I think there are more solutions on the offensive line than at edge. Not that are going to dismiss those as needs in the draft, but that can help in free agency than at wide receiver. There are a couple wide receivers like, you know, I think who are patchwork kind of guys. I brought up two in here that I'm intrigued by in DeMarcus Robinson, who had a very NWI-like season. He had 7 touchdowns on 31 receptions, and he was 3rd in the NFL in targeted air yards, 15.7, which, you know, he was a big deep threat. Also, all of these guys I'm looking at that I talked about, you know, with their injuries, a huge list of injuries and how many games they've missed and everything. I know this guy is a number 3, right? But he's missed 1 game of 148 games. He's been on a playoff team every season of his 9-season career, and he played the 11th most snaps in the NFL last year. You're not worrying about durability there. And I think Josh Palmer, particularly if the Titans lose NWI, could be a clear number 3. He also averaged 15.2 air yards per target, kind of thing I'm looking for from them.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something like that, right? They're going to have to backfill the room too in free agency, right? To some extent.
Well, they've got basically an entire room outside of Ridley and hopefully NWI to kind of restock here. One thing philosophically that I'm interested to see, not just with the Titans moving forward, but league-wide. Like, you know, PK's right. We've heard for years now about there's a lot of wide receivers coming from college football to the league that can play. There's the wide receiving part of the draft has been really good the last few years. And it's led people to wonder, like, okay, everybody knows that Justin Jefferson, you know, Tyreek Hill, your upper crust elite guys, they're going to get paid. But our team's going to be more hesitant to pay like the tier below those guys. Are they going to be more hesitant to do that given the younger talent that's coming in? Like, honestly, like I think Cincinnati should seriously consider that with T. Higgins, right? Like, if bringing T. Higgins back on a tag or signing him to a long-term deal, like, Joe, if that costs them Trey Hendrickson, is that worth it? Like, is it worth bringing T. Higgins back to be your number two wide receiver with the money you're paying him if that ends up costing you your elite edge rusher at that time? I would say no. I don't think it is.
So, I mean, like, if you're you have to keep them all together.
I think you have to, like, but that may not be.
But in your equation, do it. In your equation, I think you're right. If you're good, if you have a great quarterback, and you feel confident about scouting, some of these teams, I mean, Kansas City said, "Hey, in our financial formula, Tyreek Hill doesn't fit, and we're just going to replenish wide receivers." And we thought maybe that was the beginning of a trend. I don't know that it's been the beginning of a trend. But I think there are some teams with quarterbacks good enough that they say, hey, well, we can do this. And we've seen this is teams with really good quarterbacks. Brady only had one segment of his career where he had great receivers, particularly great receiver with Moss. In recent eras, Manning was the only one that had great receivers. Consistently great receivers. And even at the end, that petered out after Reggie Wayne.
Right, yeah. You know, but of course, I still would, and I know they just won it last year, just got to the Super Bowl, but I also would argue that, like, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were a lot scarier when they had Tyreek Hill to go with Kelce in his prime, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Sometimes tight ends should be just considered, because, like, Brady always had Gronk, and I know it's a different position, but, like, if you have someone who is just uncoverable or just you have an incredible chemistry with them downfield, that still counts as something, right? And that, when you look at the Titans, they're lacking in all areas.
Well, I guess I just wonder, though, like, you know, whether it's – like, you're trying to map out your wide receiver room for the next 2-3 years. What's that going to look like? Well, do you view it, if you're the Titans, of what you're saying, Joe, of we have to make sure it's a priority to go get a receiver in the draft this year? Or are you looking at it and saying, no, with all the people coming in via the draft and all these young wide receivers coming in, are the second-tier guys, are they going to become available in free agency more often? PK threw the numbers out. You don't find wide receivers in free agency that often. Like, is that going to change? Not with the top guys, but with the tier below those guys, is that going to change with the more talent that's coming in out of the draft at wide receiver? Can you bank on being able to have a bigger talent pool at wide receiver moving forward in free agency? That's what I'm curious to see.
I don't know. Those second guys, you know, on teams. The one thing that's come up in Hall of Fame conversations is some interesting numbers about good wide receivers getting their numbers no matter who their quarterbacks are. That's top echelon wide receivers. But if you look at, like, Torrey Holt after Kurt Warner, or if you look at Andre Johnson, who didn't have a good quarterback his whole career.
Brock Osweiler throwing to him.
Yeah, yeah. They get their numbers. No matter who the quarterback is. But I think teams without great quarterbacks value that number two wide receiver pretty heavily. And I think teams are reluctant to go get those guys for anything big. I mean, I go all the way back to Alvin Harper. Remember Alvin Harper?
Yeah, just go run go routes.
Well, Tampa Bay was like, oh, there's a number two who could come be our number one. And that he's kind of the patron saint of being cautious about that idea. Like, if you're going shopping for a number two who you think's a number one, you better be careful. Odds are he's a number two.
Yeah, Corey Davis is a good example here locally.
I worry about that with T. Higgins. Like, if T. Higgins actually got to free agency, like, is he actually a number one wide receiver? Like, we all know he's good. Is he a number one guy? Like, how much does he benefit playing with Burrow and Chase?
Yeah, I'd be all right. I don't think there's any chance he's coming to Tennessee. But if you put him in a receiving core with Calvin Ridley, I think you'd be fine with those as your top two. I don't know that you need to have a knighting ceremony where one of them is named number one. I think with those as your top two guys, you'd be pretty set at wide receiver. But again, not particularly young. Higgins, you know, you get three 3 years out of him. I'm looking for a guy you get two contracts out of.
We'll have more with PK coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063.
Back in,
Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning, taking your thoughts on the Titans. Joe, I'm interested to see, like, the wide receiver part of this. You bring up a good point there. Like, if you look at it and you don't love the options in free agency at wide receiver, we know you have to address wide receiver in some capacity. Does that make you more likely to be aggressive elsewhere via free agency in the offseason to then go draft a wide receiver high in this year's draft, whether that's trading down and picking one up or getting in the second round with one as well?
Way to take that all the way until PK got back from eating the yellow snow.
I thought it was good.
That was very good. Yeah, no, it's like how much, I mean, just big picture philosophically, how much do teams, because, you know, you have to have a plan. Everybody says you have to have a plan, which is true, right? But you also, every team understands that you can have a plan. I mean, you know, let's use the cliche of you can have a plan a football game until you get punched in the mouth. And again, go back to the Titans last year. We can all rip Rand Carthon, but they had a plan. They pivoted. They got a player who, I mean, imagine if the Titans didn't sign Calvin Ridley last year, what would we be talking about with wide receiver right now, right? Like, so that was not their plan. They pivoted to it, and I think it's going to at least work out reasonably well. He's good. He's not going to be anybody's, you know, surefire, you know, what a great number one receiver, but he makes plays. So
they would have signed somebody else, but yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, sure, sure. But I mean, like,
obviously it was to re-sign Danico Autry and Aziz.
Right, exactly. So that's your plan, and then you're forced to change your plan. So then you maybe get stronger somewhere, weaker somewhere else. It's interesting to me to think about the idea of, like, looking at data that you presented there, which is sort of the trend of how it goes with veteran receivers, and then also you look at just the overall quality of certain positions in a draft and how much, you know, that dictates what you do before you get to the draft.
I think, and they've got to, you know, the miss rate's got to be down. They need to be more dynamic at wide receiver. We've said that for a long time. DeAndre Hopkins was a good get, right? Finally, out of them bringing in, like, big time older receivers. He accomplished more than all of those other guys that they brought in combined, you know, Moss and Andre Johnson and Carl Pickens and that whole list, which goes back a long time. It might be unfair to include some of those guys, but
Yancey Thigpen.
Yeah. Well, I'll set that aside for a minute. They need to stop that approach. Yancey Thigpen was a bust, but listen, Yancey Thigpen in 1998, I believe, they did what you wanted them to do. They had a huge hole at wide receiver, and they went out and signed the best guy in the market. Now, yeah, sometimes you bust with that. So, I mean, I killed Floyd Reese in person, and I'm sure I wrote stories about Yancey Thigpen busting. But it was the same with Andy Levitre. I mean, Andy Levitre didn't fit what the Titans did, but they needed a guard. And everybody always said, why don't you guys go out and get the best damn free agent at a position to fix it? Well, they tried it with Andy Levitre, and Andy Levitre sucked. So it's a huge mistake, and it's a scouting error because he didn't really fit what they did, and he had no personality and all of that. But I cut them a little bit of a break when fans are constantly begging for them to go get the best guy in free agency at a position of weakness, and they do it. And then it doesn't work out. I think every 5 years, you almost need to do that to reset it with the fans to say, see, this doesn't work. This is why we don't do it.
Shouldn't you just, like, you know, operate independently of what the fans are saying and build good teams?
Yes, of course. Of course you should. But those serve as a benchmark reminders. In 1998, as bad as they were at wide receiver, in part because they either just had or were just about to pass on Randy Moss. You know, they took a shot.
What's going to be interesting to me is how do you find that young receiver? Like, you're picking number one. You're not taking any receiver in this draft number one. At least that I don't think so. Now, if you trade back, if somebody trades up with you, do you like where are you trading back to? Are you trading back to four? Are you trading back to nine? And then it starts to get interesting. Like, you know, the first round receivers we talked about, Joe, like Ted McMillan, I think he's got a chance to be pretty good. Luther Burden, what's he going to be at the NFL level? Like, you get later in the draft, the Restrepo kid out of Miami. I think he's a good player. Probably
slot only, I think.
Slot only.
I'm not interested in slot only.
Right. So, like, how do you go about finding that young receiver based on the current draft setup that they have, which at the moment does not include a third round pick, and you need offensive line help, and you need edge rusher help, and you need a quarterback?
Yeah, that's a great question. I participated in the Athletic mock draft yesterday, and
you took a salary cap hit of $0.
Hey, I saved him. I saved him zero. You know,
really, I mean, well done. Aren't there editors over there? I'm a subscriber to this product. I mean, these middle managers at these companies, I'm very familiar with them. If they can't catch that, what are they doing exactly?
Hey, it's addition by subtraction, okay? You know, the savings is the heartache of hoping he's good and finding out he's not. But anyway, I can't divulge.
Talk about your editors failing you.
Okay. I can't divulge the outcome of the draft, but I will say that, you know, as you get – as if you get, obviously, a few picks into it, I mean, I have no idea. Like, that's where you would get into your big board, right? And it's like, well, Tet McMillan versus, you know, Kelvin Banks versus, you know, whatever, like Mike Gray. I mean, all those positions are high need. So that's what it is. But it's not a comforting place to be once you get a few spots low in this draft. And that's where, like, look, if you can get into the third round and add picks, then okay. I mean, that's where you got to make your money there. But I don't know. I mean, I don't look at any of these receivers and think, you know, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. Of course, I'm sitting here saying Justin Jefferson, he went, what, 20-something? I mean, that's a thing. That's actually shocking when you think about it.
There isn't one of those, which is probably good for the Titans in that it makes things a little bit easier early, though the more better players, the better for them. We talked about this last week a little bit. I'm kind of intrigued by, like, I'd love to know ultimately, no matter what happens, where the Titans stand on something like this. The two TCU kids, right? Savion Williams is an incredible athletic freak, like 40-inch vertical jump, imposing physical, like 6'3", almost 230, you know, contested catch, ridiculous speed, acceleration, all this stuff. But his production wasn't great, and he drops the ball too much, and you're really going to need to refine this guy and grow him, and it could bust. And his teammate, Jack Besh, I think it's pronounced, right? A lot of people are saying Beck, is, you know, incredible, doesn't drop anything. You know, he's smaller. You can play him anywhere, but he's automatic. But he's got average speed and average explosiveness, but great footwork and routes and stuff like that. So where do you come down on that? You know, once upon a time, the Titans loved a Williams type, Justin Hunter, Dorial Green, Beckham. And then the new regime came in and said, we're done with that. We're going to get Besh types who know how to play the position. Well, I'd love to know where they come down on that now. I would think probably towards a Besh.
Racy McMath, big and fast.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, AJ talked about Racy McMath, reminded him of Julio Jones. Get him back in there.
God, let's stop with the. Let's stop. They should have an edict. We touched on this last week too, of the things that they said about Treylon Burks. They should have an edict about not pumping up the tires of average players, so that the fan expectations aren't Hall of Fame performances out of, you know, practice squad level guys.
Anthony Firkser, top flight tight end. Kevin Byard say that? That
one too.
He did.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One question that I want to get PK's thoughts on coming up next, including some research he did on the number one overall pick. We'll get to that coming up next with him. More of your thoughts for PK as well, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. PK, earlier this week at paulkuharski.com, you did an exercise on the number one overall pick and the rarity of having a team that needs a quarterback, needs a young developmental quarterback, that doesn't elect to go that way with the number one overall pick. Now, teams have traded out of that. The Titans could trade out of number one and pick elsewhere. But if they're sticking around at number one and either no one wants to trade up with them or they don't get an offer that they like and they stick at number one, based on the research you've done, the people you've talked to, how rare is it for the Titans who need a quarterback to stick and pick at number one and to not take that quarterback?
Well, really, only two times did it happen in the last 25 years with a team that didn't have an entrenched quarterback. And the 2017 Browns with Myles Garrett and the 2018 Dolphins both took second-round quarterbacks. DeShone Kizer, no answer, and Chad Henne, who had a career. But the two of them, and I think in 2017, the first and second round were still the same day. So you come out of the first day of the draft having taken, they didn't take Eric Fisher. They took, Long. So you come out of that first day having taken a very good player, number one, and a quarterback, number two. You know, it's not like now where you would have taken the player in day one and you know, spent a whole day getting panned before you get to your quarterback in round two. And I don't think the Titans would be taking that route where they'd be taking a quarterback in the second round. Those Dolphins also wound up with a gift from the Jets in August when they cut Chad Pennington and they signed him 3 days later. And he came in third and MVP that year. So things turned out pretty well. And Chris Long had four very good seasons for them and a very good rookie season. So it's very rare a scenario like the Titans potentially staying at number one and not drafting a quarterback, being a quarterback needy team. Now, they're going to reduce their need to some degree with something that they do in free agency, but which is becoming more popular because there are more quarterbacks coming free. But right now, the free agent list of quarterbacks stinks. We're waiting on moves with Cousins, with Carr, potential Stafford trade. And I'm growing less and less fond of the idea of a Stafford trade. I just don't want them to move picks for anything, really.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting one, because how many he would be, to me, the best quarterback that we're talking about for sure. But also, how many years at a high level does he have? He is increasingly immobile from what I can see. And that is one of those, like, okay, so how much building around him can you do here in the short term? If you have incredible, you know, couple years of team building, then that might make it pay off. But how do you do that if you're parting with draft capital? You know, that's a tough one.
And you flip that inside out. You know, if you're drafting a guy, either number one or later in this draft or next year, you're burning dollars or picks that would ultimately surround him. It's a catch 22 all around.
So if you were if you were looking at a Darnold, you know, I don't know if you've been posed this specifically or not. Would you trade your second round pick for Darnold with it, the hopes that he's actually like a guy on the rise, still young, and you actually have like a legit top half of the league starter for several years?
I don't think I would, but if they did, it would have to be that. Like, he's your long-term guy. You're going,
that's not a bridge. That's a, like, that's the quarterback.
Yeah, you see, you know, at least five years of Sam Darnold. The only reason you're drafting a quarterback is for a guy behind him who you hope you could develop for way down the road, or to flip as an asset, or because you think, you know, he's a fifth round guy who could be a backup quarterback in the league, and you're now spending all your assets to surround Sam Darnold. And I don't know. I mean, Sam Darnold was good in Minnesota because he's surrounded by a very good team. So he's not going to be nearly that good early with Tennessee because he's not going to be surrounded by nearly as good a team. Now, does he have the psyche to withstand that? Yeah, your fan base doesn't. You can't worry about that. But it's going to be a rocky period for sure, I think, don't you?
A long-term answer at quarterback is the only conceivable scenario to me that's realistic that I would consider moving assets for. Like, the Titans need to be in the business of gaining assets. Like, it would be like
not Stafford, like, because he's too old.
Exactly. Like, you would have to believe it's Darnold, and I don't know that I necessarily believe that. But I like, they would have to come to the conclusion that it's Darnold. Other than that, like, I don't think you should be trading picks for anybody. Like, I think, you know, I go back to what Brinker said a few weeks ago and how many picks they want to acquire. How realistic is that going to be? I don't know. Like, it's pretty hard to do what he's laid out there. But, like, with their roster being in the shape it's in right now, unless you are sure that you found a long-term answer at quarterback, with their present state right now, I'm not interested in trading picks for anybody.
I know it's impossible to hit that goal if they trade picks. I know that's exactly impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I mean, he didn't say he's, you know, hell, like they're hitting that goal or striving for that goal no matter what. But clearly,
no.
And nobody's hit that goal in the last, you know, last 3 years. But clearly, they want to have as many draft picks as they can get, and as many draft picks as they can get in the top 100. And any of these deals are not going to lead them that direction. And any deal that they make, you know, they want to come out with more picks than they have. I think J-Rob was big on that, you know, trading two for one, and always coming out with more, even in player deals, you know, ideally coming out with a wash.
Oh, the J-Rob hitter said something positive about J-Rob. Wow.
J-Rob was one of my favorite dudes to BS with.
Robbie, give me one word to characterize
bad decisions, and he would take it.
Give me one word to characterize John Robinson's tenure as Tennessee Titans general manager.
One word?
What was it? What's the evaluation of it? You have to give a one-word evaluation of it.
Decent.
Or two. Okay. Cliff. Paul says bad.
Cliff.
Paul says bad.
Say Cliff. Boy, you sure were pumping him up like he was getting that Jacksonville job for a guy that didn't even become a finalist. You and really everyone at the station.
That was wishful thinking, man. I mean, that was wishful thinking. I didn't know that he actually had a great chance, but I just was really hoping. That would have been so much fun to have Vrabel and J-Rob both, you know, in the same conference of the Titans the next few years.
They call Amy Adams.
Should have voted for it too.
As a reference.
The reason that he wasn't a finalist, I wonder why that was.
Because it was so bad. So bad.
Shot, I think he do a great job for your organization down there. You should give him a call. You should hire him and take him off my payroll, please. Thank you.
I've never met a bigger fan of Caleb Farley, Isaiah Wilson, and Treylon Burks than Joe Rexroth.
Yes, because that's what I said. I said those are just misunderstood. Those are misunderstood genius picks. That's exactly what I said.
That seems to be what you're saying.
And now you've completely turned on Treylon Burks and want to cut him for $0. $0 savings. It's unbelievable.
The hell of a savings. Great
switched
savings.
Around here. 6 months.
Save, save, save.
They don't make mistakes, but most of them are not reading comprehension mistakes.
We'll have more with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Nashville's best deal of the week from Bavarian Beer House, located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals. Get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. So I'll throw this out to both of you. We're talking quarterbacks. So let's say Stafford shakes free. Let's say that Cousins shakes free. We know Rodgers is going to be out there. We'll see if he decides to play. Which team right now is the most desirable quarterback destination out there? Like, is it Pittsburgh? Is Pittsburgh at the top of these guys' list of where they want to go? Is it the Giants? If Stafford does shake free, is it the Rams at that point with McVay? Like, how do you view how the pecking order is going to fall here with these quarterbacks in terms of where they're landing?
It's a great question. I mean, I think the Rams would only be a quick bridge, right? I think they'd be drafting a quarterback next year, if not this year, somebody that they've already got somebody in mind. I don't know. I think Pittsburgh be a great situation. They've got to invest some more resources in offense, though, than just quarterback. I mean, financially, they're so skewed to defense, and that's their identity, and that's great. But in order for them to take the next step and win a playoff game, they're going to have some offense.
They're not elite on defense anymore. They're not. The performance does not match the investment.
No, but it gets them to the playoffs pretty much annually. So they're getting some reinforcement that it's a formula that works. It doesn't work well enough. But I think those are the two off the top of my head. I'm looking here for another one.
I can't divulge the results of the mock draft. I think tomorrow we can talk about it. I assume it. But I will say, you know, you can't necessarily look at a bunch of writers and think that this is like some indication of how things are going to go.
We know.
But I'd be a little concerned about a soft market. If I was the Titans for that top pick. That was a really good idea you had of the quarterback needy teams and the rarity of the quarterback needy team not taking the quarterback. But I feel like it just seems to me like that's where it's headed, and I feel like the whole league thinks that's where it's headed.
Yeah.
I think one pivotal moment, if Stafford comes free, could be Giants and Stafford. And if that domino fell, it would reset everything in a big way and not in a good way for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that's a good point. Also, like, are all these guys going to find a starting job, like these veteran guys out there? You know, I'm not talking about Mac Jones and like Justin Fields. You know, those guys could end up somewhere starting. Who knows? But like, are all of Rodgers, Stafford, Cousins, Carr, Darnold, like those guys, are they all going to end up being starters next year? It's going to be interesting to see too. Like, is there enough of a market for those guys where they're all going to end up being starting quarterbacks? Because you could view that, if you're the Titans, as a good scenario for you. Like, if you want one of those guys, there's a lot of guys out there at quarterback.
Well, everyone you listed was a starting quarterback last year, and the only two guys that are conceivably bumping people out of starting jobs are Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
In theory, but maybe a Tyler Shough or a Jackson Dart does the same. Cousins is interesting to me. Like, is Cousins viewed in this league? Does someone out there want him to be their starting quarterback? Other than, like starting quarterback for the first month, but they also draft someone.
Like planning on him being the quarterback for the whole year.
Yeah. I have my doubts about that at this point.
Maybe here.
Well, that's the thing. Does Cousins finally come at a really, like, a huge reduction in price tag? And if that's the case, then you could make the case for, like, the Titans could do the Cousins thing and the draft thing.
Yeah. But see, there, I'd be like Cousins and a later quarterback, but none of the later quarterbacks get me excited. So I'd say Cousins and a draft pick next year. And this year, you go Cousins and Levis. Cousins and Levis and somebody you bring in for camp who's another veteran free agent who's super cheap.
Well, I just feel like a lot of Titans fans have talked themselves into, well, they're trading back. Like, it's going to happen. They're trading back, whether it's to 3 to 5, wherever it is, but they're going to trade back. They're going to pick up more picks. And I guess my question is, what happens if they can't trade back and they don't love the quarterbacks? Like, are people going to be happy with them just taking Abdul Carter at number one overall and not getting any additional picks for it?
I put up a poll last week on that. Like, would you be disappointed if they stayed at one and didn't take a quarterback? Or no, if they, and took a quarterback. 60% said they'd be all right with a quarterback. 40% are okay with the idea. I'm totally tangling this up.
This is great. No, you're just as good as me at reading the overthecap.com. Except these are your own numbers.
40% are going to be okay with the idea of the Titans taking a non-quarterback at number one.
Okay. That about matches up. Like I think
that's still a big portion.
It is. But like, I think, like, to me, what I would love is trade back to 3, end up with Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter anyway, and then pick up more picks. I just don't know how realistic that's going to be.
I think the vast majority of fans want that. That would be the ideal scenario.
Trade absolutely. To 3.
Ideally, Carter's there because Garrett hasn't moved. But if it's not Carter, you end up with Hunter, and you go from there.
I found the market for the top pick very soft. That's all I'm going to say. But it's a bunch of writers. Who knows?
Talking about an outlet that doesn't catch the fact that your salary cap savings is Treylon Burke. I mean, the editorial and writing staff there is, everybody should be way down on that.
His name is Burks, jackass.
What did I say?
Treylon Burke.
I misspeak, and this is supposed to offset the fact that you think he's a salary cap saver.
I mean, this has been a very, very boomeristic about 5 minutes of the show here.
I've already apologized publicly. I don't need to take this berating anymore.
Well, where's your editor? Let's get your editor on to apologize publicly.
Hey, Treylon Hurts have a lot of time to
apparently
hunt some hogs.
My editor is as good as your editor, because both of them would do nothing in this circumstance. So there's a uselessness to middle management that's in evidence.
Addition by subtraction. It works.
PK, enjoy the snow. Thank you for being with us today.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks. I'm going to a live sporting event Sunday. It's very excited. I'm going to I'm going to see the Vandy women.
Nice.
Yeah, Michaela Blakes. 55
very
points,
good.
Baby.
Fuckers prep, good. Baby.
That's right. That does it for us today. Jason Big Joe is up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.